Hey, Lindsay Patterson, Tyler Dragon from the Smithsonian Inquirer here for you. Again, we found it a little bit different. We're just going to be safe for now, and we're actually going to be doing the podcast out of studio, but I can't wait to get back in, and we're going to do that when we're all clear. But as I mentioned, we wanted to get the podcast out for you because we want to be a little bit of a distraction with all of the other news in the NFL and all the news you see out here in the world. We want to just kind of provide more on the sports level of what's going on at Paul Brown Stadium. And Tyler, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, yeah. As you said, this provides a little bit of a diversion with everything that is going on right now. So it's good to join you via phone today. I am at my place watching TV and on the podcast.
Well, you better be careful and monitor your computer because anything can happen with the Cincinnati Bengals these days.
Oh, man, I have my phones on me at all times. I was literally at the grocery store and another signing happened, so I rushed back to my place and called a few sources and got things confirmed, and it, you know, just off and running again. There's never a dull moment in this free agency period for the Bengals, which is uncharacteristic from this team. It's usually maybe one or two players kind of under the radar moves, but this season, obviously my first offseason with the Bengals, it has been a lot different. This is way out of character for this team.
We're going to talk about who they've picked up versus who's gone, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But when you look on the defensive side, I just find it really interesting. The Mackenzie Alexander, you add Von Bell today, Day One, DJ Reader, Trey Lynn. They're revamping, as you mentioned, the secondary right now. But I just think that looking on that side of the ball, he was pretty much saying, like, look, this is who I dealt with last year. And we don't give enough credit to what the second half of the season looked like. Look, I know they have two wins, and that's not okay. And the criticism there, and they deserve that criticism. But how they turn things around, even Kobo's done that, stepping out there as a 10-year vet, and just looking different defensively. They added better guys, and it was almost like Lou was like, look, I'm dealing with what I'm working with here. And you notice that Preston Brown cut, they make some changes at linebacker, Jermaine Pratt getting a few more snaps out there. I joked about it on Twitter, but you're going from a rookie to a vet real fast.
Yeah, the Bengals defense, they did step up towards the latter portion of the season. I mean, starting with that first win against the Jets, they only allowed 6 points that game, and then pretty much all the other games to finish out the year were close, with the exception of that Patriots game where they got blown out. But the Dolphins, that was a thriller, and then to close out the year at Paul Brown Stadium versus the Browns to get a big win versus their in-state rival. So you saw some positive signs going in and in the latter portion of the season, probably starting from that Raiders game. Ironically, that was Ryan Finley's second start. So that's when you kind of started to see positive signs from this Bengals team. And then they closed the year out with a win. And that is just good for psychologically and good for the team's morale heading into the offseason. And now we're seeing firsthand during these offseason days that the Bengals are building on their momentum, especially here in free agency.
When you look at the secondary right now, with just the Von Bell signing at safety, you have a 3-year deal, so I find it interesting because you start to think about next season, what that means for Sean Williams, that they'll move him a little bit out of position next season, or where he's going to look at on the defensive side when you look at the secondary, and just adding another guy who's in his prime when you look at Von Bell, which I find him more surprising with that signing today versus some of the other ones that they've made. And they've been positive, but I find Von Bell to be more interesting.
Yeah, you know, the Bengals are signing him to a 3-year, $18 million contract, and that sparks questions about Sean Williams' future. Honestly, Williams has 1 year remaining on his contract. He's been a starting safety in Cincinnati since 2016. He's battled a plethora of injuries, especially last year. He was really playing on like one leg, it seems like, for the most part. At this point in both their careers, I do believe Bell is a little bit more athletic, and he can also switch to the free safety spot at times. He's more comfortable at strong safety, and the way that they paid him $18 million, it leads me to believe that Bell is going to be a starter. But it starts questions about what's going to happen with Williams. Is he going to be on the team? Are they going to start shopping him? You know, the Bengals, they've spent roughly $127 million on free agents, and $18 million of that is going to Bell.
When you look at the secondary for other positions, I've been impressed with how they just stacked up at the cornerback position. Look, Darquez Denard is on. He's going to Jacksonville. And that kind of happened writing on the wall last season when the Bengals were committing one more season with him when he did test the free agent market, didn't get what he wanted, came back to Cincinnati. Injuries have kind of been his kind of thing when you look at him on the defensive side. But they're sucking up on depth in the cornerback room right now. What does that mean for Trey Kirkpatrick?
Well, you know, I've heard a couple rumors, and you know, the Bengals, some sources have told me that they do like Dre Kirkpatrick, and they do like his leadership ability on the team, and they feel as though he played well last season. But with the money he's owed and the moves that they have made, it's hard to see a scenario where Dre is still on the team. And now he could be, they could rework his contract, but it's hard to see him being a Cincinnati Bengal next year, well, this coming season.
The linebacker room looking a little bit light right now. They did add another season yesterday, but you also have to read facts. I feel this is still a major need, but I'm still going to differ from you because we talked about it last week if when they do draft at 33, second or third round of kicking up a linebacker. I think it should still be third round. Some people still feel 33 is when you do it because you're obviously getting Joe Burrow first. I think Nick Vigil was interesting because I want to know, you know, I know he wasn't that great, but I still felt like they could have gotten him back for a cheaper 1-year deal.
Yeah, well, they kind of upgraded with Josh Bynes. He graded out as a better linebacker last year than Nick Vigil. He performed well in Baltimore. He knows the division, and he's used to winning. He was on that Ravens team that won the Super Bowl versus the 49ers. I see him coming in there and competing for that inside linebacker spot alongside of Jermaine Pratt. As far as Nick Vigil, as you mentioned, he got a pretty good deal for the Los Angeles Chargers. He can go in there and compete for that starting linebacker spot on their team too, whether it's a strong side linebacker or weak side. So I think both Josh and Nick are both happy where they ended up winding up. And as far as the Bengals, I don't think they're done at the linebacker position, as you just alluded to. If it were me, I would kind of look for to draft a linebacker at 33 if there are some good ones available. But there's no need to reach for that position. So that is why I've said in the early rounds they can will most likely draft a linebacker. I can see that happening as early as the second round, but I would not be surprised if they drafted a linebacker in the third or even fourth round.
We're going to have to, like, when we get closer to the draft, which is insane to think about, Tyler, it is 4 weeks away from tomorrow.
As of now, it's 4 weeks away.
Of now, I still feel insane. I know it looks a little ignorant on the NFL side, but I do think they are paying attention to everything that's going on, and if they make it an in-studio version versus, I mean, it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate for the players because, look, I know we all talk about, like, sports aren't, they're not as big as what's going on, and I truly, and everyone believes that, not breaking any news here, but when you look at that moment for a player who is drafted first, like Joe Burrow, four other players in the first round. That's just such a big moment for them on draft day. To do it at home with your family is a little different. So special, but a little different. Say that the draft, as of now, is on April 23rd. It's 4 weeks from today.
Four weeks from today.
Thursday.
If they do not change it, there are a lot of GMs and other people around the NFL who want the draft delayed because of this coronavirus pandemic. NFL facilities, as you know, are closed, and teams have really had to improvise the way they scout players and build their draft board. So, you know, some believe they can't prepare for the draft during this pandemic, and you kind of understand where they're coming from. So if they do delay the draft, I really can't be mad at that just because of with everything that's going on. We've already seen the NBA change their season, postpone their season. Baseball's postponed their season. The Olympics have had to postpone for the first time in its history. So it's not like other sports aren't rapidly changing, because you really don't know what's going to happen with this pandemic, because things are changing not daily but hourly.
You know, it's crazy because, again, we've never witnessed anything like this. Every time you see the news and the news numbers that keep coming out, and I think what we're basing is what has happened on Italy, and I'm not going to get into what I just watched on the news and the 2 o'clock press conferences, and won't be here when it comes to updates, and I appreciate those. But we haven't seen anything like it. So are you a little surprised the NFL hasn't kind of jumped out on this and said, hey, we're not going to do it in April?
I'm not surprised, because they went forward and with free agency, and that pretty much is still happening without a hitch. The draft is a little bit different because, as we all know, they were planning it to be in Vegas, and now they really haven't said much besides that they still want it to be at April 23rd, but nobody knows where it's going to be. Nobody knows how is going to be held. So that makes me believe that there's still some wiggle room there, and they could end up postponing the draft. I'm not reporting that to be fact, but it would not surprise me if they went ahead and decided to postpone it to a later date, maybe sometime in May.
What does the potential of no off-season workouts and then you're starting training camp? Because as we know, more than likely, AJ Green will report to training camp and set out the voluntary workout. But what does that mean? What is that going to do for the season? And how are we going to see maybe more starters in action during the preseason?
Yeah, because you're not going to have OTAs, mandatory mini camp. That's in question right now. So I can see a scenario where the first practices are training camp. And if that's the case, then it kind of changes the way you approach preseason football. Instead of, you know, the second and third game being dress rehearsals, primarily the third game, I can see, you know, starters and second stringers playing a lot that first game and a lot that second game, and then the third game pretty much playing through the third quarter, into the third quarter, and who knows about that fourth preseason game. The fourth preseason game is generally a game where you have all the players at the back end of the roster playing and people on the roster bubble, but who knows, just because players need to get into shape and get ready for that NFL regular season grind, and due to this virus, they couldn't start the season on time and couldn't have adequate training for the regular season.
When you go back to the quarterback position right now, we've talked a lot about the free agents, and eyes are on Andy Dalton if the Bengals release them, if you're going to get traded at the moment. It's just best to release them, and I just find it really interesting because maybe back last season when everyone was like, trade him, that was the business opportunity to be able to find something for Arizona. So obviously, you weren't going to be moving forward with him. At the moment, nobody wants to pick him off for what his contract is, and the Bengals aren't going to have the $17 million mentor as a quarterback for Joe Burrow. And he's all this time, he's like, look, I want to be a starter somewhere, and at the moment, I don't know how many starter jobs are available. All of that can change, as you know. Just when preseason alone, injuries of teams are maybe going to be starting somewhere. I think Jacksonville looks like the spot for him, and that's just a guessing game. No reports or sources on that. It just makes sense to me going and reconnecting with Jake Gruden, who I felt like he had one of his better seasons with in his first year as the offensive coordinator. Tyler Eifert's there, familiar guy. So I think that's the best landing spot for Andy Dalton. But do you feel like it's just kind of wrong to not release him?
Yeah, it's same thing goes with Cam Newton. They literally just released him this week, and when knowing they weren't going to have him be their starting quarterback of the future. As far as Andy Dalton, it is looking more and more likely that he is going to be released. And I like where you're going with Jacksonville. I think they should be the favorite if indeed the Bengals do release Andy Dalton. New England is still in the mix. I know that they just signed Brian Hoyer, but that quarterback room does not look good right now at all. So Jacksonville, I think, should be the leader in the clubhouse when, I'll even say when, the Bengals decide to release Andy Dalton, because there are really no trade partners right now. The trade market is pretty much dried up for Andy Dalton, and I've said long before this podcast that the Bengals lost leverage when they did not trade him at the trade deadline. And we've seen the quarterback carousel go round and round and without Andy Dalton, and quarterbacks are changing places. And that looks like it's pretty much all done at this point. And Cam Newton is still out there. As I just said, he's probably the number one quarterback available. You still have Jameis Winston out there, another former number one draft pick. And then Dalton's just floating with the Bengals in a position of unknown, but everybody pretty much knows that it is inevitable that he is eventually going to be released, because there aren't just anybody willing to trade for him right now and taking on that contract.
And speaking of his weapon, and I had mentioned Jacksonville, where he could possibly land, we'll see what happens there to reconnect with his person, Tyler Eifert, move it on, get himself a nice little deal, over $15 million for 2 years. Tyler Eifert, and I just have to think about him, really, one of those guys, since he's been in Cincinnati, as you know, injuries were kind of his thing. And unfortunate injuries. I mean, going back to what happened against the Atlanta Falcons, it's a gruesome injury. But he's dealt with everything. And everyone's like, he made a blast, so he just been injured, blah, 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 this, that. Tyler Eifert has worked so hard to get back on the field. But last season, we saw this offense, and they rarely used the tight end. And definitely the same with Tyler Eifert. It was a minimal basis. When I talked to him about that in September, we have it up on Fortnite.com to kind of up and down for his career. I didn't see them bringing him back. I don't know if they were even in the conversation of just bringing them back on a one-year deal. You can't beat a $15 million two-year deal with what that guy's been through. That was probably the best he was going to get, and that makes sense why he's going to Jacksonville. But when you look at the tight end room, I find it interesting. And we talked to Zach Taylor about this on the podcast about a month ago, and he's not so confident in what they have in the tight end room. But he's young group of guys, and when you look at this roster, it's young. And you have Tiko Uzama, who will move up to the number one. Drew Sample, who they're hoping to get more out of. I mean, that was pretty sad what happened to him last year. He got him in the second round, and then he gets injured, and just really never saw much from Drew Sample and how they were going to use him more as a blocking tight end. He's in Carter, more of a special teams guy, but it'll be interesting if they put him up a little bit. Jordan Banks was on the practice squad, and we saw a little bit of him in his rookie year when their tight end room looked like he threw a grenade in it and there was no one available. But when you look at the tight end at the moment, do you see them getting anybody late in the draft?
Well, first let me touch on your Zach Taylor and the podcast we had with him. Doesn't that seem like it was like 3 years ago?
It was like 3 years ago. I don't even remember. I mean, it was months and months ago.
There's been so much that has happened since then. It seems like it was a century ago.
And he was great. He was great on the podcast. I mean, we just talked about the offense because I still felt like there was burns on this. And we talked about Gio and Tyler too. And I just felt like never really saw that much from him. And Tyler was finally healthy. And look, he's not the same Tyler Reich that we saw in 2015. He finally had a full season, but his reps were down. So I think it makes sense to walk away from him. But I just find that tight end room interesting because it looks a little low right now. But I don't know what he wants his offense to look like next season. And if maybe they get a tight end late in the draft.
Well, it's funny you ask that because I talked to some high-level Bengals sources this offseason, and they told me pretty much that they are happy with the tight end position right now in their depth, and that was with the expectation that Tyler Eifert was going to be gone. They like C.J. Uzomah. Drew Sample battled an ankle injury last year and obviously ended an IR, but they spent a second-round pick on him, and they have high expectations for him. You still have Ethan Carter and Mason Shrek, so they do like where they're at tight end. Do I see them drafting a tight end? No, I don't. Based upon what these sources have told me, they like their tight end position. CJ is the starter, and they believe Drew can come in and have a good sophomore season and be a lot more than just a blocking tight end. They feel as though he can have good hands, and he can be that number two tight end that this team needs.
You know, it's funny because everyone talks about Joe Burrow. They want that whole LSU team. They want that whole offense. They look at a guy like Thaddeus Moss. I'm getting some of that. It's not going to happen, though. Definitely not going to happen. They're predicting to, as you mentioned, with some young tight end room, and it's time for C.J. Uzomah, and he'll be the number one with Tyler Eifert on. When you look at going ahead right now, Tyler, you have the offensive line. Jonah Williams going to be out there left tackle. Well, to be determined on your right side right now. But if you were to put on paper, and you were looking, say you're not even looking at the draft right now because we don't know what's going to happen in the next 4 weeks if they have the draft on April 23rd and the Bengals do draft an offensive line. I think they do that in the second round. I still feel that way.
Do we have a bet on that?
I think they go offensive line. So
okay.
If you were to look at the offensive line right now with the guys they have, you're starting week one. And this is not going to happen. Like, I'm just going to be completely honest. It's these people that you're going to say are not going to start. Not all of them, at least.
So, you know, since we're on the phone, I couldn't really hear your question. You said who was going to start on the offensive line week one?
Yeah, who would you put on the side right now with the roster they have at the moment? Look, this is going to they're going to draft someone, and who knows if that person will be starting week one, week two. We have a lot of training camp to go on, not a whole lot of off-season workup at the moment. But if you were to look at who they have right now, who would be your offensive line?
Jonah Williams, easily left tackle. I think that spot, they believe that he is going to be the left tackle of the present and future. Michael Jordan at left guard. Trey Hopkins signed him to that deal right before the season concluded. They like his smarts, like his intangibles, believe he's a leader and can help a rookie quarterback in Joe Burrow. Right guard, I would say...
That right side is interesting to me.
I would say they just signed him.
Yeah, at the moment.
And you say don't say you tell me don't call him Xavier, call him Xavier, right?
Xavier, people who listen to this podcast can tell Tyler that it's Xavier, not Xavier. I know you're from Santa people, some of you from out of town, we appreciate you listening, downloading and commenting. But make sure you tell our guy, Tyler Dragon, it is Xavier, not Xavier. Because you're gonna get criticized for that. I'm just leaving your back right now. You're respect. And you're saving me right now because I know what's going to happen. You're going to start the season. And look, I don't know if Xavier will start on the right side yet. It's to be determined on what happens with the draft and who they could replace on that side. I don't know yet. It'll be interesting. Look, it looked worse last season. You had a guy like Jonah Williams who's already an upgrade, man, Joe Burrow. But when you look at that offensive line, I can see it right now. That Tyler goes in there during training camp, the first time we're allowed to go in the locker room, and you're going to be like, hey, Xavier, I had a chance to talk to Xavier today, and this is what we talked about. No, Xavier. I'm just saving you from the Twitter hate.
I mean, but Twitter knows, yes, I live in Cincinnati and I cover the Bengals, but I'm from California, so can I keep my
California West Coast accent? I'm about to put this on Twitter.
I mean, that's where I'm from, though.
I can't wait until you do this when the season starts. And I just can't wait. That's what I'm going to do. I know him. I know he's here. And I'm going to just reach out to him and be like, how do you like your name now? And then we'll get it all set. And that's okay. What you go by. You always go by how the player likes it. I mean, it could be totally different. Because my biggest pet peeve in working in broadcasting is when you say someone's name wrong. And, well, Tyler, I get it. You grew up in California, and maybe they say it that way. But I just know how people are, and I know how I feel. I'm like, okay, just say your name. And I'm straight up with people. I'm like, how do you say your name? Just say it, because I don't want to screw it up.
I
just watching your back. I'm just watching your back right now.
I get it, because I don't like when people call me Tyler Dragoon, or so.
Why? How do you mess up your last name? I don't even get that.
Yeah, I don't either. But, okay, to finish off your question, and then I had at right tackle, the same starting right tackles last year, I got Bobby Hart. So I know that does not excite fans. Yeah, but I do have him manning that right tackle spot, but you never know. Isaiah Prince is right there. He's a swing tackle that the Bengals are high on, and they could draft another tackle. I would not be surprised if the Bengals address the tackle position in the draft. I know they're probably going to draft the lineman. I just don't know if it's going to be a tackle, guard, or center. But I would be very surprised if they do not draft an offensive lineman in the upcoming draft.
All right, when's your mock draft coming out?
Well, I've already done like two. How many do you want?
I mean, I'm sorry. Fans love them some mock drafts, and the more the merrier, because you already got number one out of the way. Like I mentioned, 33 is still like a first-round pick. They got three first-rounders next year. I'm stoking, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I should do a mock draft and just for the fun of it, have the Bengals taking somebody else at number one besides Joe Burrow. Just because I see on Twitter like every day, like people hitting me up, Tyler, are the Bengals gonna trade the number one pick? Are they looking at Justin Herbert or Tua or another quarterback? Are they still gonna draft? Like I said this since December, you were gonna draft Joe Burrow. For some reason, there's still questions. I promise, if the Bengals are leaning in a different direction, then I will say so. And there is nothing that tells me or anyone that has told me that the Bengals are leaning in a different direction. So I just want to slam the door shut on all these Twitter questions I get about if the Bengals are taking Joe Burrow or not, because I get them literally every.
Well, that's interesting to me because it's funny. When I remember when you said that, you put it out on Twitter and you're like, the Bengals are going to draft Joe Burrow, like my source would tell me, and I know that source told you that. And I don't know
what that you do?
Well, I mean, I truly believe that your source is correct.
Okay, you believe the source. I thought
I believe your source is
you know the source. I was like, wait, what?
I don't know the source. You don't tell me. Here's the thing, guys. Tyler has all these sources and reports, but doesn't tell me a single thing. I think we're cool. He's one of my co-hosts on here. It's about time you gave me some of these sources. But no, I truly believe your source who told you this, that they were going to drop Joe Burrow. But it's crazy because I remember when you put that out on Twitter and the reactions to that were like, duh, of course they are. Why would you think something different? I'm like, no. You can say that to him, but you know what? I still got one today, Tyler. I got one today saying, are you sure? I'm afraid they're going to mess it up. And I legit, with zero sources right now on this matter, believe 99.9% sure they are getting Joe Burrow. And I still get it back that these people are like, I don't know. I don't know. Guys, they're getting Joe Burrow. And, I mean, that's over. Like the national media stuff, all of that's over. They need something to talk about. Now they have the Tom Brady and they have other things to talk about. That went away. And it went away after the combine. So Joe Burrow pretty much said exactly what we hear from the Bengals guys. Like, look, I mean, he's going to play for whoever drafts him. He doesn't get to pick who he gets to play for. And he's going to go play in Cincinnati. But I always find that interesting because when you tweeted that out, there was so much reaction from it. Positive and negative, but it was almost like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And you're sort of like, my sources tell me they are going to draft Joe Burrow. And I got it today, and it's crazy. I mean, I tell people who are from out of town who are probably going to know, I'm like, they don't believe it yet. They won't believe it until Joe Burrow's name is called.
How about this? Next time we get asked about Joe Burrow and if the Bengals are going to draft him, we just have a standard response. Listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast.
Just send them the podcast link. Send them the link to the podcast, and they can hear this conversation and the conversations that preceded this one, and they will know that Bengals are going to draft Joe Burrow number one overall.
No, I find that interesting, and I get it, and I care. So the thing is, I'm not criticizing people who believe that, right? Because, look, you follow the organization long enough, and you know that, like, things just are differently in Cincinnati. But actually, this offseason is proving that things are kind of going in another direction, which is a good direction. They're spending money. When you look at Cincinnati sports right now, the Reds over $145, $155 million. Bengals are kind of on that same route. They're playing like Dayton Dalton is gone. We know he's gone. And they're 4 weeks away from getting their quarterback. It just looks different, and it's good in a different way because, and look, I joke with people all the time. I said, my son is not being responsive to the social media team. There are good people who work on the general social media team, by the way. They kick butt. They do an awesome job. They don't read the comments. I'm not saying they don't read the comments. I don't think they would read the comments.
We know you read comments.
I read comments. I don't know. Maybe they read the comments. But I'm just saying, like, I'll never understand when people tweet a Bengals Facebook account or Twitter account and just say, like, you need to do this, you need this. I'm like, this is someone's stuff. Like, they do that every day. They are trying to. And some people are like, it's our voice, that's voice. I'm like, I know, but, like, Mike Brown isn't reading your Twitter. He's seeing the stadium. He sees the stadium. And that stadium, 2 years ago, when they decided to part ways with Marvin Lewis and then they hired Black Taylor, that was a response from my friend. He sees what's happening with Cincinnati. And this is, it's not a hot take. It really isn't. He wants to win. He wants to win in Cincinnati. And I know it looked differently in some offseasons, being that spending the money or bringing this back. They like to keep their own guys. They pay them. The deals make sense. And I do believe, I'm not a cheerleader over here, I'm just saying, I do believe Mike Brown wants to win. And I think that those conversations that Duke and that Taylor are having, which, again, not inside those meetings, but I truly believe they are starting to pay off. I think a new voice, and I'll say new still with Zach Taylor because it's been a little over a year, a new voice of having him in there in those meeting rooms, kind of seeing the success of what the Rams were able to do a couple years ago when they made it to the Super Bowl, having that different voice in those meeting rooms. But different guys, how he built his staff, showing what he can do and the other parts. It would be one thing, Tyler, if they were to just, well, we're getting Joe Burrow in 4 weeks. We're going to be fine. Let's just keep what we have and sign the guys and bring Nick Vigil back and do this. But they're not. They're not even just doing that. They're getting better all around. Because as we know, you look back in 2019, there were holes everywhere. They had a lot of pieces. It wasn't going to be just bring a quarterback in and everything was going to be fine. They know that they got to do some work. And who is everybody talking about right now after today is the Cincinnati Bengals. So I do believe there are voices in there who are making things change. And who knows, it could be Katie. It could be just different people in the front office are listening. And they're seeing. But they're seeing because they're seeing what other teams in town are doing. They're seeing their empty stadiums. They see that stuff. Not the social media stuff. They see their stadium and they want people to back up all around the stadium.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to speak for Mike Brown or...
And they're not speaking for him, but yeah, I do believe he wants to win.
But I can assure you that he does want to win. And from him on down in the Bengals front office, they were embarrassed with how last season played out. 2-14, worst record in NFL, tied for the worst record in franchise history. And then they have the national perception that they are a cheap team. and poorly run franchise. And so they want to change that, and they want to be a winner, and they want to change the perception that they're at the bottom of the barrel in the NFL. And this start in free agency with spending money on players like Von Bell, they are trying to change that narrative, and they are off to a good start. To spend, I mean, roughly $127 million this offseason on free agents, that is a huge start to their offseason and this 2020 season. And then to go on to the draft and then draft a franchise quarterback, a quarterback many believe that is going to be one of the next good Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks, that can change the trajectory of your franchise quickly. And they're off to a good start. I have to give them credit. You know, I'm always real when it comes to the Bengals, and I am not afraid to bash them and talk negatively of them. I know you're misoptimistic. You're misoptimistic. It's okay, though. But I'm always like, if they're bad, I'm going to tell them they are bad. But this offseason, I can't criticize them at all, because they are putting their money where their mouth is, and their mouth was saying that they were embarrassed with how last season played out, having a 2-14 record. And props to them, because they are responding this free agency with all the moves that they have made.
I want to say this right now as we're recording this, because we actually were talking about the NFL draft, and it being 4 weeks from Thursday, we're recording this on a Wednesday afternoon. Of course, anything happens tomorrow, that's why this is not going to be up to date. We're recording this on Wednesday. As of now, the NFL has said that they're going to have the draft April 23rd through the 25th. The letter to agents, the NFL said it's working on a virtual solution that will incorporate prospects and the broadcast from their own location. So I feel like that's going to be more of a similar thing. What we're seeing on the news right now is when you have people from home and their little video Skype Zoom accounts, and they're going to just Zoom them in, or they're going to have a video, and we're going to see more of that on draft day. I still look for this big place on April 23rd. And as I mentioned, there are far bigger things happening in the world, and we should be paying attention to that, and I totally agree with that. But the NFL is still planning on doing this, as I mentioned, more than likely in a studio, but as of now, Ian Rappaport from NFL Network actually just said this as you were talking, Tyler, because I always have Twitter up because I don't know what other moves going to be happening. as of now, it is set April 23rd to 25th, and looks forward to be more of a virtual solution to incorporate prospects through a broadcast.
Well,
I find that interesting, and I think that's obviously the Ross goal for staying with the April 23rd. But as I mentioned, I mean, our goal right now, we're just here to, you know, I know it sounds like a broken record if I keep saying this on the podcast, but just a consultant. There's actually been a lot of news to talk about on the NFL world. It's actually crazy because everyone has told me, what are you going to do for the time being? All the sports are down. What are you going to talk about? And the Bengals have given us news. So we're going to talk about news. I can't wait to get back in the studio. Tyler and I, as I mentioned, we're trying to be safe. We're not in studio. We're calling in from our houses. Our amazing producer back at, not even up in San Diego, he built an in-studio production system. Phil, our man, is getting things done at his house, and we're going to be able to bring these to you as we lead up to the draft. I want to get more creative. We'll have some draft guests on as we get closer to the draft. Again, it's 4 weeks away from Thursday, recording this on a Wednesday afternoon. Hope we can bring you a little bit of distraction. I really appreciate everyone for listening, but I apologize if the sound sounds a little bit different. We love doing it in studio because of the quality and equipment that we do have, and I can't wait to get back in there. When the season starts, we'll be getting more of these podcasts out for you more than normal. Tyler, I know you have a lot of stuff on Cincinnati.com. What's up there right now?
Well, like I just mentioned, they're signing of Von Bell. That's up there. I talked to DJ Reader on the podcast last week. A conversation was up there with him. And I also have a main article with him as well. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com with all my latest stories, including every single free agent move that the Bengals have made.
Put your stuff on Cincinnati.com. All eyes on what's going to happen within Dalton. Where's the land next? Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Lindsey Patterson, Tyler Dragon on the Bengals Beat Podcast.